You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Be it superstition or just an apparition, you suddenly appear inside my heart. Does this strange romance stand a ghost of a chance?
I'm not even doing the usual intro, because I'm not excited about this football team, and neither should you be. Neither should you. Shouldn't be excited about this football team. This is Seamus Clancy. I'm from the bleachers on BGN Radio. I'm recording this early Monday morning, and I surely hope that my upstairs neighbors are either awake or going to work, because otherwise I may wake them up in the recording process for this podcast. Eagles fall in Las Vegas yesterday. Embarrassingly so. Zach Ertz, in his first game as an Arizona Cardinal, scores a 47-yard touchdown. He looked like Yak Ertz in a way he really never has in an Eagles uniform. You know what I say to Zach? Good luck. You got out of here. I don't blame you. Maybe you'll win a Super Bowl again. Maybe you'll be a Super Bowl hero once more. Saw a stat this morning from Tommy Lawler. Great follow on Twitter. Has done some writing on his site for forever in terms of the Eagles blogosphere, and has done writing for the Eagles website too. Eagles quarterbacks, or opposing quarterbacks going against the Eagles defense, have a completion percentage of 74.4%. Yes, this is a pass-happy NFL. That's the lowest mark in the entire NFL. Jonathan Gannon's defense, he plays this high cover two defense, deep safety looks, only has one real safety because Rodney McLeod's out there. Malcolm Jenkins is gone. Jalen Mills is gone. All these other supposed stars. Anthony Harris is out. You have Marcus Epps back there getting mossed. And they're just letting the quarterbacks do whatever they want, take everything underneath. And it would be one thing if they were playing golf, trying to do this classic bend but don't break vibe. But it's incongruent with the Eagles' own offensive attack, because the Eagles' offense isn't this offense that's going to play catch up and score a bunch of points and have these explosive plays. The defense needs to be more aggressive. Jonathan Gannon might be it for him in Philadelphia. I said that on a podcast and wrote it a few weeks prior, maybe after that week three game. After Kansas City, I said Nick Sirianni might be a one-and-done head coach. Now, did I want him to be a one-and-done head coach? No. I would have loved if the Eagles rebounded from 1-2, made the postseason. Jalen Hurts looked great. Everything was gravy. Everything was looking good going up in Philadelphia. Doesn't seem it's going to be going that way. Nick Sirianni? Jonathan Gannon, you can't fire these guys in the middle of the season, I don't think, but I don't want them back in Philadelphia next year. I want the GM gone. I want a new head coach, a new offensive coordinator, a new defensive coordinator. And as much as I've gassed up Jalen Hurts, I'm ready for a new quarterback. I've seen enough from Jalen, and I'm surely not alone in saying this, that Jalen's a good dude. He's cool. He somehow has regressed this season in a weird way, it feels like, because in those Saints and Cardinals games last year, he played infinitely better than any game he's played this season. And I'm left wondering, hey, maybe if Doug stuck around, things would be a little bit different for Jalen. And that's me just kind of being a Doug apologist. I think of Lost when Charlie's holding up his hand at the door showing Desmond. When it says not Penny's boat, it should say not Doug's fault. It wasn't Doug's fault any of last year. It was Carson and Howie. Maybe things would be different if we had Doug Peterson still. No, that's just me. I'm always going to be talking about Doug Peterson until the end of time. But Jalen, he's just not it. I haven't seen enough. Got to stop saying, well, it's his X start. It's his 11 start. It's this or that. I haven't seen really anything besides that Saints and Cardinals game last year. And that's why I was so high on him last season. Because if you subscribe to the idea that the coaching staff had gone south and become stale during the end of the Doug Peterson ever, you would be thinking that maybe a new head coach could revitalize this offense overall and specifically get through to Jalen Hurts. And Hurts hasn't made enough plays as a runner in the way I thought he would, isn't as explosive, you know, taking these plays that he's rolling out and keeping it. It's just not working overall. just not working. And I don't know if you bench him this year. I don't think you should be doing that. I think you just let it ride out. Maybe at the end of the year, you know, Minshew comes in or something, but there's no use playing Joe Flacco in a lost season. I'd rather just see anything from Jalen Hurts to warrant him a position on next year's roster, whether it's as a starter in case they don't really swing a trade for a guy or find a guy in the draft. Like maybe you add some pieces around him and he's just okay next year. Maybe that's enough to have a competent season, maybe sneak into the playoffs. I don't know. I don't think it's likely. And there's no use playing Joe Flacco. Gardner Minshew, I mean, another guy who has more style points than I would say on-field points, much like Hurts, and that's probably why I gravitate to both those guys. But not looking good at the quarterback position, not looking good at coach, any coaching spot, really, and certainly not looking good at general manager. This team stinks. It's everybody's fault. It's everyone's fault. That's the title of this podcast. It's not just saying, oh, it's all Sirianni. And I've hated on Sirianni. And it's not just all on Howie, because everyone hates Harry, but everyone knows it doesn't start and end there. And it's not just all Jalen Hurts, who has been probably given a little bit of a bad hand, but at the same time, starting quarterback in the NFL, you got to make plays, you got to make throws, and in situations where guys have been open, he has a chance to make a big play, an explosive play, throws downfield when guys are open, just not doing it, and he's part of the reason the Eagles are 2-5 right now. This is the – I'm trying to think how soon – the earliest the Eagles have been out of it in my life, and I think back to 2012 – they went 4-12, but they were 3-1 to start the year. Like, they already had more wins than the Eagles did through the first month of the season currently. And in 2015, that season was pretty terrible. But even at the end, into November and early December, they still had a theoretical chance at the postseason. We're kind of grinding along, picking up some nasty wins. They had that great overtime win against Dallas on Sunday Night Football. And then they had the upset huge win in New England. So they had some wins in the back schedule to kind of keep them alive in the playoff race. But it was never as clear as day since 2012. And I think to that, because I think that's the first year I had season tickets. And obviously was always a crazed Eagles fan. But since then, my fandom has gone up a notch, and definitely also coincides with being a college student. My first college fall was in 2012. And things just changed in terms of your responsibilities and what you want to do with your career. And, you know, obviously gravitated towards this sports media realm. And, you know, my interest and fandom changed in a way with the team during that period. So kind of think back to then. And, you know, I was talking with some friends today, this morning even, and he said, how does this year already feel worse than last year, meaning Doug Peterson's last year in 2020, Chip Kelly's last year, or Andy Reid's final year? And maybe what I said to that is maybe because, one, like I said, this is the earliest they've been 2-5. I believe so. Like in 2015, like I'm saying, they were still in at the end of the year. 2012, they go, start the year 3-1 and then finish 4-12 with a disastrous rash of injuries. And what I came down to is, at least in some point in time, all those other coaches seemed not just good, but great. Obviously, Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl here. Andy Reid made a Super Bowl, made 5 NFC Championship appearances, won a boatload of divisions. And Chip Kelly, one division his first year, goes 20-12 as a head coach in his first 2 seasons. And everyone thinks he's a messiah-like figure in the city. So Nick Sirianni has had neither the success of Andy and Doug, nor the theoretical offensive creativity and mastermindness that Chip Kelly had. So now we're stuck here. It is October 25th, and the Eagles season is over, it seems. And I don't know, would it be funny if this was like cut up on a clip and you saw me in some like Eagles hype video in the postseason saying the season's over? Season's probably over. It's over. They needed that win. They needed last week's win. They needed all these wins and they don't have it. They're going into Detroit on Halloween, spooky season, and they will be playing a winless Lions team. And I could think of no way better to capitalize that this is a terrible, terrible season. And that there needs to be a clean sweep from the organization, from the general manager to the head coach to the quarterback, than to losing to a Lions team like that while everyone is hungover watching the game from going to Halloween parties the previous 2 days. And then, you know, it's the back end of their schedules is people say it's easier. I mean, they still have the Chargers, right? The week after that, the Halloween game is the Chargers. The Eagles are 2-5. If they win against Detroit, they're 3-5. They come home, play the Chargers, and you think maybe a West Coast team coming East Coast. game's at 4 o'clock and they'll travel early. It shouldn't really be an issue for them. And if you're looking at maybe a 3-6, and they have the Saints who, okay, pretty good. Better than the Eagles for sure, right? They're playing on Monday Night Football tonight against Seattle, I believe. And where are the wins coming from? Yes, they have all of those division wins, but is Washington worse than them? I don't know. Are the Giants worse than them? I would think probably yes, but I'm not completely sure right now. And maybe I'm a prisoner of the moment. I've always been on the podcast. Recency bias runs through my brain as it does most people's brains. And now I'm just left wondering, what are we to go from here? And it's everyone's fault. And the guy who's probably, like I said, everyone's fault, but there are different layers to it. I think it's mostly, not even mostly, the majority of the blame goes to Harry Rosen, because this has not just been a one-year thing the way it has been, one-year blip with Sirianni and Hurts not stepping up this season. But this is a demonstrable organizational failure going over the last handful of years with poor drafts, and the Eagles were never, ever, ever able to replenish the talent they had on that Super Bowl roster, where they had the deepest roster in the NFL, were able to overcome all of those injuries, including one at the quarterback position, the most important position in sports, to win the Super Bowl over, you know, the greatest dynasty, the greatest coach, the greatest quarterback of all time. And Howie Wentz did a good job, but it hasn't happened in a while. And it really sums up how low things have sunk in the post-Super Bowl era. And the team was only really good again at the Super Bowl in that 2018 run when Foles came back in. And maybe that doesn't mean about Carson Wentz as a leader or player, whatever it is. When Foles came in that Rams game, Sunday Night Football on the West Coast, they were like double-digit 14.5-point underdogs and pulled off that win. And they go on that run and they double-doink game. They made the second round of the postseason. That was the last time the Eagles were like truly, truly, truly a great team. And I don't know when the next time we're going to see that is. And it's not this year. It's probably not next year. And God knows when it's going to happen again. I'm just sad, you know? I'm angry. I thought I was going to be yelling more, but it's just one of those things where sometimes if something happens in my life that's minuscule, I might freak out a little bit more, because in that moment, releasing some of the emotion that I had that I've maybe kept built up or pent up during more serious moments. And sometimes when I'm hit with those more serious moments, I'm sure this is something a lot of people can relate to, I kind of just take it in stride and mellow out and just getting a little numb. And that's kind of how I'm feeling about this Eagles team right now. I want to yell, I want to scream, but I just don't have it in me. They don't deserve it. They don't deserve that emotional stranglehold they have on me, and they have on the vast majority of fans. Especially if you're listening to this, you're a crazy Eagles fan listening to the great BGN radio network. And I mean, sure, you love the team as much as me or anyone out there that listens to this podcast, tweets, goes to the games, whatever, anyone of any background or age. And it sucks. It's everyone's fault. It sucks. Got to suck it up. Got to get through this season. Keep your eyes peeled for those 3 first round picks next year. And part of the reason you can't even get excited about those first round picks is that Howie Roseman is going to be the guy making them, more likely than not. And he screwed up this entire roster, and you have this treasure trove of picks for the first time ever in this franchise. You're going to have 4 picks in the first 2 rounds, likely 3 first round picks, maybe 2 of them, and probably 2 of them in the top 5. Maybe one of them is the first overall pick itself. And somehow I can't get excited for the future, because the guy making decisions, and Sirianni's back next year. We waste another year of these picks. And if you can't get a quarterback with those picks, are you happy rolling with Jalen? I could talk myself into it, but it's not good. It's not good. We're going to be doing something about Harry Roseman. And that's it for me. Short one. What else is there to say right now? I'm angry. You're angry. This team stinks. It's everyone's fault. It's everyone's fault. Again, Seamus Clancy. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Seamus_Clancy. Be sure to follow the BGN Instagram page at Bleeding Green Insta and the Bleeding Green Twitter account at Bleeding Green. And of course, read the great website, bleedinggreennation.com, and subscribe or leave a review on your podcast platform of choice. Even this Eagle season might suck, we have some great talent on this podcast network bringing you great pods consistently throughout the week, nearly every day, to keep you updated and be a little therapy session for you as you deal with this horrific, horrific Eagle season. Keep bleeding green. Regardless of what they're doing on the field, these guys, whether it's the players, the coaches, and even the general manager, their time in Philadelphia is finite. You will be a fan for the rest of your life, and you likely have been your entire life. So you keep leading green. Don't worry about everyone else. Your fandom will likely be rewarded one day. Maybe it's way, way in the future, like it was that one time, February 4th, 2018. One more time, keep leading green. Team stinks. They stink.
I am haunted by you.
P.G.N.